Goodbye, kids.
They are. They're gonna.
Deb's got something great in mind. It's really cool. Can I talk to her real quick? What they're gonna do is she's gonna teach them the record of the sons of the prophets, and they lost the axe head. Mm-hmm. And they're responsible in that culture. And so what happened was by revelation, you know, they went in and the word says that the axe head swam, but they pulled the axe head out of this you know, muddy river. And she's going to have them try it. She's got this thing set up. Wow. The reason why it worked then is because it was revelation. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Ah, man. Like, whoa. That's cool. Yeah, it is. Anyway, okay, God bless us each and every one. Let's go to Psalm 1. Psalm 1. Yesterday I spent my day in about 90% of it in the book of Genesis, first three chapters. It's really incredible. The foundation for so many, many, many things are laid in those chapters. But one thing that really stands out and really stood out to me more yesterday it wasn't something I didn't know. It was more real. It was more clear. Was God's original intent for mankind. God never, never intended, nor did he set up, nor did he build or equip men to live outside of God or separated from God. You know, in Genesis you read where God gave man dominion over the earth, over every living thing that was in the earth, everything. Adam had the rulership of, and he was to subdue it. Isn't that something? But what you see is Adam was never left on his own. And you see that in just, there's one remarkable verse, and it just it was like, oh. Okay, who made, formed, and created the animals? God did. And then you read where God, he went and brought the animals to Adam and said, what do you want to name it? Right?
Yep.
God brought the animals that he created. Do you see the partnership there? It was this tremendous partnership. God made this garden. You know, it was awesome. It was beautiful. And he gave it to man to dress and keep it. You take care of this. See, God set this up. And man had that life of God in him. See, this was the way it was supposed to be. This was the intent. You know, then we read what we read in Genesis chapter 3. And Adam disobeyed, resulting in that death, that loss of spirit. And also dominion being transferred from man to Satan. And a number of things resulted from that. And that's not where I want to spend my time. But the point here is that man was never intended, never set up to live separate from God. And so God has always provided a way for man to not live, not quite what Adam had, but to not live separate from him. Isn't that something? You know, we had as he worked with the patriarchs, how he worked with them. Then he had his word. You know, then the law given to Moses to preserve and protect his people. You know, all these things God did so that man would have the guidance that he has to have so that man would have that help that he has to have. Because man outside of God, it's a mess. Right?
Yep.
It's a mess. It just is a mess. Because God never intended it. He just never did. I wanted to look at something, and I started in Psalm in light of this. Sean just recently did a teaching. I haven't had opportunity to listen to the whole thing. I listened to the first half of it. But it's along the lines of what it deals with, the almost epidemic of depression we have in this country, in this world, perhaps, especially among so many young. And it's funny because I was looking at the word for blessed in the Old Testament. You know what it means? Happy. That's what it means. Happy. Right? And, you know, people go down so many roads in the pursuit of some kind of happiness, some kind of meaning. But it can't be done outside of God. It can't. They'll say it can. But in their heart, they know. They know. Right? Absolutely. They look happy, put on the face. Everything's wonderful. Oh, yeah, I'm great. I'm good. But inside, man, separate from God, it's a lonely place to be. See? Isn't that something? Because we just weren't made for that. And I want to read some things here in the Word. We're going to spend a bit of time in the Psalms. But I wanted to start in Psalm 1. And it says, blessed. And you could translate this, how happy. You know what we're looking at today? We're looking at some of the keys of happiness. How's that? That's what we'll call it. Keys to happiness. How happy is the man that walks not in the counsel or the advice of the ungodly. And you know, you could understand this word ungodly as wrong. Walk in the advice of the wrong. You know, those that say that there is no God. Those that say God is made up. Those that say God's word is just a joke or it's history. They're wrong. They're wrong. Don't walk in their advice. Kind of a simple way to understand it, isn't it? How happy is the guy that doesn't walk in their advice, right? Nor sits in the seat of the scornful, of the scoffers. But His delight is in the law of the Lord. See, the scoffer, the word literally means to make mouth at. It's to mouth off, basically. It's to mouth off regarding God. To mouth off regarding those who look to God. His delight, in contrast to that, is in the law of the Lord. And in His law does he meditate day and night. See? And that word meditate is a word, it means to murmur or to speak to oneself. But what it means is, it's what you think about. You think about God's word. You think about God. See? Isn't that something? That's what you're thinking about. That's what you're looking at. And the result of that meditation, it doesn't mean it's the only thing you think about, because life happens, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. But see, that meditation, where it will result, is you're going to land at God's word. That's where you're going to land. You're going to land at seeking God's counsel. Do you see what I mean? You're going to land at going to the word. See, that's where your heart's going to land. Isn't that cool? Verse 3, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he does shall what?
Prosper.
Shall prosper. Now, when we read this word prosper, we think of monetary. You know, you're prosperous, you're rich, or you have, you know, that kind of thing. This word, that's not what this word means. It's used a number of places in the word, but one of the places it's used is Joseph when he was in prison. And the jail keeper watched him, and it's like everything he did prospered. Everything he did. You know what that means? It's like what he set his heart to do, it worked. It came together. It was good. That kind of thing. See? And that's what, you know, that partnership with God begins to look like. See? It's really something. You know, where you put your hand to do something and it's successful. And it's not monetary, it's in everything. It's whatever it is, whatever life gives you. God's working in you to will and do of his good pleasure. Do you see it? And people see that. They see that. It's like when he does it, it works. You know? It's something. Anyway, that's sort of a loose definition of that word, but I think you get it. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. You know, when you would winnow wheat, that chaff was the hull, the outside stuff that you couldn't eat. It was useless. And it would just blow away. What you wanted was the wheat. See? The ungodly, those that are just wrong. Useless. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. This is speaking of a future day. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall what? Perish. Goes away. Really something. Let's go to Psalm 40. Psalm 40. Really, outside of God, there are no answers. Man was never designed to live by his wit, by his intellect, by his emotions. Psalm 40. Verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He prayed. He went to God. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit and out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth. Isn't that something? A new song in my mouth. Boy, when you taste that deliverance that's available from God, it does put a new song in your mouth. It's like it changes the way you think about things. Changes the way you look at things. Many shall see it and reverence. Isn't that awesome? And shall trust in the Lord. Happy. Again, you could translate this, how happy. How happy is that man that makes the Lord his trust. And respects not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. You know, this respect the proud, it's where those prideful ones or those arrogant ones that deny God, you don't give what they say weight. Your trust is in who? Right. It's in the Lord. It's in God. See, how happy is the man that puts his trust in God? That's right. Let's go to Psalm 65. This is blessed. How happy. How happy is the man whom thou choosest and causes to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. That's something. This was Old Testament. Verse 5. King James, it translates this, by terrible things in righteousness. This is really King's English. We would use the word awesome today. By awesome things in justice. Isn't that cool? In righteousness or justice. By awesome things or awesome deeds in justice will thou answer us, O God, of our deliverance, our salvation, who art the confidence of all the ends of the earth and of them that are afar off upon the sea. Isn't that something? See? How happy is that man? Let's go to Psalm 84. Psalm 84. This is kind of like the opposite of the self-made man, which, you know, in our culture we so revere. Blessed is the man, how happy is the man, whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them, it should read, in whose heart are thy paths. Isn't that beautiful? There's one translation, I think it's the English Standard Version. It translates this, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. Isn't that beautiful? That's just awesome. How happy is a man whose strength is in thee? See? In whose heart are thy paths or thy highways or thy ways? Let's go to... I'm sorry. I wanted to read verse 9 here too. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I had rather be a doorkeeper or to sit at the threshold in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? Because, see, life outside of God is not life. It's just not. Let's go to 94, Psalm 94. Boy, this is going to be a pretty short teaching. Good stuff, though. I love this. This is used a few times in the Word. You see it in Proverbs. It shows up in Hebrews. But verse 12, how happy, of Psalm 93, how happy is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teaches him out of thy law. Isn't that something? The word chasten is to instruct. It's used of instructing children. It's used of a father instructing his child. And it's how happy is the man that receives that instruction from God. For without instruction from God, what are we left to? Our own devices. Our own hearts. I might phrase it another way. Our own stupidity.
Yeah, wow.
There's so much we don't know. But God does. Let's go to 164. Psalm 164. You can't. Because there isn't one.
It would maybe be 163 in Psalm 119, maybe.
Hold on. Let's see. All right. Well, we're not gonna worry about it. Let's go. I got a bunch. Although
it could be 146.
It could be. Let's see. No, it's not. Wait a minute. Maybe it is. Yes, it is. Thank you, Greg. That's right. All right. 146, verse 5. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in who?
The Lord.
Wow. See? Whose hope? Man outside of God is left to his own devices, and he's without hope. He's without hope. His life is spent by his own wits, by his own intellect, trying to come up with answers, trying to come up with reasons, trying to come up with a purpose. And the thing is that no matter how good it looks, the man knows it's made up. There's no real proof. You and I are not in that boat, are we? See? We have so much to be happy about. So much. I want you to go to Proverbs 29. Then we're going to look at a couple things in the epistles. But I wanted to read this. Proverbs 29. Somebody lose a seashell?
Amelia.
Oh, Amelia? Okay, that's a nice one. All right. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keeps the law, happy is he. This word, this translation is a little bit rough. Where there is no vision regarding, it's regarding the, you know, God's word as spoken by the prophets. God's word is what it's referring to. Where there is no vision, it says the people perish. It's a word, one translation handles it as wander aimlessly. See? But the basic meaning of the word is there's no restraint. There's no restraint. You ever hear such a thing?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you say goes. Whatever I feel like goes. That's something. They wander aimlessly. It's horrible. It's just horrible. Because man was never made to live outside of or away from God. That's not how we're designed. We weren't made to live without hope. We weren't made that way. We weren't made to live by our own wits, by our own strength. Now the world calls that weakness. But they're wrong. And we don't take the advice of those that are wrong. Isn't that simple? It's so simple.
That's right.
Okay. Let's go to Romans chapter 4. Romans 4. I love thinking about these things. And it just... so much to be thankful for. Because see, well, we're going to read a few things. But you and I, because we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, we're sons of God by seed. We have His Spirit. We have His Word. We have the body of Christ. The church, the temple of the living God. We're in it. We have access to the throne of God by way of Jesus Christ. All these things that we've read about, we have. And oh, we have a hope. See? And we have the deposit of that hope. The proof. So when you're feeling unhappy, think about those things. Think about our end. Thinking about what God's done for us. Think about what He does for us. Go to Him. Rather than communing with your own heart, go to Him. Romans 4. This is just awesome stuff. Anyway, verse 6. Even as David also describes the happy blessing. That's that word. Happy blessing of the man unto whom God imputes righteousness without works, saying, blessed, happy are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Happy is the man to whom the Lord will not impute or account sin. See, all of us in this room are among this group that we've just read about, because we've believed on Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? You know, there's a psalm, and I didn't read it, but there's a psalm where David, he cried. He just cried to God because of his iniquities, because of how he had fallen short and blown it. And he was up all night in his tears. And then it says, God answered him. That's something. And what God showed him was that he was forgiven. See? You and I have that in Christ. See, we don't have to carry the weight of that. Isn't that something? Let's read a couple things in Ephesians, and then we're going to go to Titus and close. Well, I don't know where to start. I don't know. Blessed with all spiritual blessings? That's pretty good. Right? He's abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. I kind of like that. We stand before him in the work of the beloved one. That's not too BAD. These are some things to be happy about. His desire to have the eyes of our understanding enlightened, that we might know the hope of his calling. But let's go to verse 2, or chapter 2. Verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh or near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition, having abolished in his flesh the enmity or the hostility or the hatred, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of two one, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you, which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore, you're no more strangers, foreigners, fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, grows unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Remember the psalmist? One day at the threshold is better than a thousand. You and I are part of the household. We're where God lives, by way of that Spirit, by way of that one Spirit. Isn't that something? See, these are things, you know, you've heard them a thousand times, some of you. Don't ever take it for granted. Just don't do that. Titus, let's go to Titus, and that's where we're going to close. We're going to read the theme verse for family camp this year. Titus 2. And I want to start in verse 11. It's the grace of God. For the grace of God that brings salvation or deliverance. We have all that we have by the grace of God. Everything we have is by the grace of God. It is by the grace of God that he planned what he planned all the way back in Genesis 3. It's by the grace of God that he put all men under Adam, so that when the last Adam, Jesus Christ, came, he could put all under him who believed on him. See, that's all by grace. None of it's deserved. It's all by the work of Jesus Christ. Everything we have, everything we're going to have, is by the work of Jesus Christ. And it's that grace that brings deliverance hath appeared to all, teaching us, this is what it does, it teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, or worldly desires. You know, one of the favorite sayings that people have is, you know, you got one shot, you got one life. Well, there's some truth to that, I suppose, but when the world says it, you know, it's just to go for everything you can go for in this life. Whoever has the most toys, when he dies, wins. Right? Mm-hmm. And that's a basic philosophy. And it's just silly. See, that's a life outside of God. What grace teaches us when we understand it is to deny that kind of thinking. See? And we more and more begin to live less for self and more for our brothers and sisters. More for our God who gave us this deliverance by His grace. Isn't that awesome? And so that's what it teaches us. See? That we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. You know, we read these words, and I think the tendency for many is to think in terms of your actions. You know, this is godly, this is ungodly. This is righteous, this is not righteous. That is really shortchanging the real heart of this thing. And what it is it's to live in partnership with your Heavenly Father. And to grow in His Word and in understanding His awesome, awesome love and grace and forgiveness for you, for me, and for the great hope that He has in store for His own. Yeah. And, I mean, that's what's available today. Going to get better at the return, but boy, we got a lot to be happy about now, don't we? Amen. Pretty awesome. Verse 13, looking for that, and the word blessed is that word happy, and I'm going to read it. The translation's pretty rough in the King James. I believe this is the working translation I have here. Looking for that happy hope and appearing of the glory of the great God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's really something. That day's coming. But you and I look to that what? To that happy hope. See? And that hope is a great source of happiness, a great source of joy. Because it's our Lord Jesus Christ coming back for us. Mm-hmm. See? And if we're asleep, He's going to raise us from the dead. Isn't that something? And we're going to be like Him. And if we're alive, we're going to turn from mortal to immortal because we're going to have a body fashioned like unto His glorious body. That's happy. That's a happy thing. Mm-hmm. See? So these are things that we can think about, we can rejoice in, and we can be happy about. And we can help one another by reminding each other of these simple, simple truths that we have all because of grace. It's really incredible. It takes your breath away when you see it. So, amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to close with prayer.